Listen, if you want a job, you can't call a woman a cunt unless she's really being a cunt.
You get it once a year.
You gotta be sure.
And you gotta mean it.
There are good movies and there are great movies. But that's not what we watch here, because this is Shitty Cinema.
Oh, my little hat.
We are three film masochists who love to take on the worst movies we can find, centered around our monthly theme to answer one simple question. Would you watch it again? I'm Jay, and I'm joined by Dave.
Hello.
And Casey.
They said they'd peddle my pretty body like a prostitute.
Every week, one of us has to pick a movie based on that month's theme. What's this month's theme, Dave?
This month, none of us could really be bothered to put in too much work, so we're not going to bother coming up with a theme for why this all came together. We just brought in whatever the fuck we wanted to bring. That's why our theme is Dog Ate My Homework. I don't know what I was supposed to have for you, but this is what I slapped together on my way out the door.
The algorithm won't let us name it Pull It Out of My Butt Month, so this is what we got. These are movies we pulled out of our ass.
Last week, we all found out what would have happened if Quentin Tarantino was Japanese instead of American with Western Django.
We didn't want to find out. Nobody asked the question, Dave, but you.
You didn't even know that it was a question you could have an answer to.
I didn't want the answer.
It didn't even occur to you to ask the question. But now you know the answer. But there's 1 week left in the month. Casey, the dog ate our homework. So what did we watch this week instead?
From 1981, For Your Height Only, starring Wang Wang, which this was a movie that I randomly found out about on Instagram from watching an incredible clip of him jumping off of a balcony and was like, I don't need to know any more about this movie. I'm in. Luckily, it is free on YouTube, so I highly recommend, if you haven't watched it, which why the fuck would you have, eat an edible, slam a beer, whatever you need to do, push play on this movie and have your fucking life changed.
It's also $4.99 on Prime Video, so I'd highly recommend you get around to that YouTube thing before whoever's charging that $4.99 on Prime Video realizes that.
Please.
Casey, before we get ahead of ourselves, you need to give us an elevator pitch where you sell us on this movie in 10 seconds or less. Here's your setup. You're on vacation in the Philippines. You found a casino. Shocker.
Is it?
You're a little drunk. Shocker.
Is it?
And you're losing. Shocker.
Am I with Caitlin? Because this sounds all very familiar. Well, I can't really place it, and I can't prove it didn't happen.
You're also maybe a little more than a little drunk. So you just lost your last few chips, and you're not feeling too good about it. You've decided you're going low with your insults on this one, specifically height. You're insulting this man's small stature.
Not proudest moment, but survival.
Yeah,
I get it.
Yeah. Unfortunately for you, you've just decided to insult the world's smallest secret agent who is capable of some pretty incredible short man kung fu. So you've got about 10 seconds before he demonstrates this on both of your kneecaps. In the time before that happens, sell us on this movie.
Mr. Giant wants permission to use the N-bomb, pimp rods, and deal drugs. It's up to Wang Wang and his magical flying hat.
7 seconds. Wow, I kind of don't know that I disagree with that, including the abrupt stop.
Yeah, no. New scene. Stop. New scene.
Yeah, no. This whole movie felt like sitting in the passenger seat of a car of someone learning how to drive stick shift.
Well, let's drive our way through the movie that Shitty Cinema watched. The world is in danger. The mysterious warlord Mr. Giant kidnapped Dr. Kohler, a scientist who has created the latest weapon of mass destruction, the N-bomb.
No, it doesn't matter if Dr. Kohler says he can say it, he can't.
No,
it's not how it works.
Yeah, well, Mr. Giant is going to use the N-bomb to take over the world.
Is he a white dude from Detroit?
I'm assuming this is some lost in translation.
The neutron bomb, I'm assuming, is what they're alluding to.
Fortunately, the secret agency has a secret agent of their own up their sleeve. Ah. Agent 00, who literally fits up some sleeve. He's the top secret agent and only 2'9" tall. But don't worry, just like another 00 you might be more familiar with, this one comes equipped with some gadgets.
Not just gadgets, but a parade of not Bond girls. First, Lola helps 00 find some drugs hidden in bread.
Let's go back to Lola. I want to be her best friend. Like, you baked a loaf of fresh sourdough and like, oh, here's an eighth of weed. Bye-bye. Just go out into the woods, smoke a doob, and you've got fresh bread. You're now Hansel and Gretel. True.
Generous.
That's fair.
And sourdough, you got to be keeping up on that shit all the time. She must be pretty responsible if she's keeping.
Gift receiving is my love language.
Okay, then 00 hooks up with Irma, who goes undercover as a mole in Mr. Giant's syndicate. And she starts feeding him information about all of the drug trafficking that's going on.
This takes like 4 minutes.
You okay, yep. Dave?
No. After 00 keeps interrupting the syndicate's operations, they assume that there's a rat.
Oh my god, I wonder who it is.
Could it possibly be one of the sex slaves we've recently taken in?
Huh. The day we hired this new employee, we're losing information. I trust her, though. She's got kind eyes.
It's like the worst porn parody of The Departed ever. Irma's suspected and then outed when 00 tries to ring her on his pendant phone. The syndicate decides to use Irma as bait for 00.
00 falls for the trap and is captured. They don't get to kill him, though, since Mr. Giant wants to yap at him. Too bad. 00 uses that time to escape and begin to, in the words of the film, make a monkey out of the forces of evil.
I still don't understand that.
The syndicate also refer to themselves as the forces of evil. He's like, forces of good will not prevail. Like, this is really...
Oh, yeah, no, they were straight up old school bad guy villains.
Like, are these two gangs... Are they goons, but also all former theater kids? This felt weirdly petty and way too serious.
To rescue Irma, 00 gets a few more not-so-Bond girls to help him out of here. Together, they kill their way to Mr. Giant's second-in-command. But Irma's in another castle, on a hidden island, called Hidden Island, which they find via a crudely drawn piece of paper.
I think it was like a Denny's menu.
Don't look
at like one of their placemats.
In crayon.
I'm pretty sure I have seen a Denny's placemat that included a map to a drug den. So
yes, I have.
00 gets a handy dandy jetpack to fly to Hidden Island. There, he calls for backup and finds Mr. Giant, who turns out to also be a dwarf.
Irony.
Is it? 00 kills Mr. Giant, rescuing Irma and Dr. Kohler.
They blast their way to reinforcements, but Irma's killed at the very end. The film ends with Dr. Kohler safe and 00 at the gravesite of Irma.
Wasn't Irma, though, because there was definitely an S on the end of that name, and it was really long. I think they just filmed in front of someone's really nice grave.
100%.
And tried to use his body to block.
You think they, like, paid to make a new
grave?
Oh,
hell no.
No, they just picked a grave and filmed at it.
They didn't have CGI back then. Dave, you were the only one this week that had not watched this movie before.
Mm-hmm.
Can you just kind of walk me through the emotional roller coaster you went on?
Man, okay. I was having a lot of fun for a while, and then I realized that I was only maybe 20 minutes into the movie, but that's okay, because it's not that long of a movie, so, like, there can't be that many more sharp jokes that we're going to make. And then 00 knocked out one of the bad guy's drug sites and convinced a woman to turn into a mole for him. And she completely got into the enemy's organization and fed him like two more sites that he had knocked out. And the bad guys were on to the mole. And there was a lot more short jokes. And I was starting to get pretty burnt out on all of this, and I checked the timeline again, and it had only been 5 minutes since the last time I looked at it.
Okay, so the experience that you are describing, by your own definition you gave earlier, could this be cinematic gooning? Did you bring it full circle?
I don't know. I don't want to put the brain power into deciding if it is.
Okay, just, there's, I'm going to plant that
honestly,
seed.
Honestly, I would say that this was the cinematic equivalent of the 7-page Muda. It just kept throwing punches at me again and again and again and again. Though, surprisingly, not as many dick punches as I expected, given how our main character lined up with them. There's a few.
Yeah.
They didn't totally.
It's a few, not more than like a Van Damme film.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, if he's down there in the splits, he might as well punch you in the dick.
Yeah. Well, there's a lot of dick punches.
Yeah. I mean, there's quite a few.
Maybe.
There's a shit ton.
More than
there's
the
like,
average film. But I expected him to be straight up working the sack like a speed bag down there. And they restrained themselves from it.
He does a few between the legs, though.
So there's a scene when he's breaking into Mr. Giant's compound where a guard comes and checks the gate and then stands like star pose over a giant hole in the ground. It looked like a laundry chute almost. And Wang Wang is hiding in it. And I thought he was going to come up and just straight punch him like right in the taint, but he was actually climbing out of the hole. But I was really waiting. That was a lost opportunity. It looked like he was coming out of some ductwork just to fucking make you a soprano.
Yeah. I guess that's as good an excuse as any to talk about this. The fight scenes in this movie were not good by any stretch at all. They were really creative, though.
Yes, like, a lot of fun.
They were having a lot of fun with it. They maybe went a little too far with the, like, playing up how short he is, but they did some really fun, creative shit with it.
Yes.
It reminded me of when we watched the Taron Egerton Robin Hood movie, and there's the hallway scene in that when he uses a bow and arrow in a bunch of really weird, creative ways throughout it. And that, yes, it was like, wow, this is someone put a lot more thought into this than I would have expected for a movie of this caliber and budget. The personal favorite for me were the scenes where either Irma or one of the other not-so-Bond girls would... I want to say that he would bring them into the fight. He didn't bring them into the fight. They would just pick him up and use him like a club or
oh my God.
People.
Okay, yes.
Marilyn at
the
end. The
last girl. Yeah, Marilyn.
Yes.
He jumps on a table and she fucking whips him at a dude. Like... tomahawks him into a man.
Marilyn was ready to go.
Yeah.
She knew that, what the score
the
was.
The minute she laid eyes on him, she's like, I'm throwing that man.
Hand
Hold
me
on.
The folding chair.
She just got lucky
in the top of the cage.
Is not a villain because some bad guys showed up.
I want you to see this through my eyes. In my eyes, Marilyn is Colossus and Wang Wang is Wolverine, and that is a cannonball
yes.
special. And that's how I see it.
There's an alternate world version of this movie where it ends with Mr. Giant also having some like woman that's in love with him, and
mm-hmm.
she is fighting against Irma, and they're wielding Wang Wang, or they're wielding 00 and Mr. Giant like lightsabers.
I want the final boss to come in who is being wielded by Brigitte Nielsen. That's the end all be all. That's the Rocky IV. I wish there were so many more of these movies.
Wait, hang
They're
on. We're turning this into another kink thing.
Yeah.
Damn it.
This month, our homework is not good, you guys. It's not good. I was really impressed by Wang Wang's physicality in all of his stunts. So there's a scene when he's breaking into... who knows? It's the... He only breaks into places. Everything
yeah.
else is a patio he's on. But anyway, he's breaking into somebody's like fucking yard, and he climbs the gate and there's a small opening in brick, and it seems like all of the like garden gates have them. He climbs through that, and you watch him in real time figure out if he can fit on this ledge or not, which he can't, and he has to jump down instead. And it's a tall ass fence. And even for me, being over 30, I would not have felt great at the bottom of that like jump. You know what I mean? Like, that's a long way. I know he doesn't have as much weight, but still, that's a long fucking way.
Yeah, they were definitely speeding up the tape on a lot of his stunts and fights. But it's still, like, I would love to see these fights done with a better stunt team, because yes, it's clear he was putting in some yes work on this. And
yes,
with the creativity that was going into the choreography, it could have been a lot of fun.
Wang Wang is a martial artist himself. He trained for most of his life. Also, he's trained as a stuntman before this film, so he could pull a bunch of that stuff off.
His timing is not bad.
Right. It's like, not bad. It looks pretty good. And okay, so this is obviously a riff on a Bond film, but it has very little of the Bond
really
drama. I mean, right. Yeah, I know. Right. But it has very little of the Bond drama, and it is very much like attempts at high octane Bond action scenes. One after the other, after the other, after the other, after the other. It's almost an assault.
Yeah.
Well, it is, because they just cut the scene. There's no clear end. Like, it's interrupting thought.
Done.
Abruptness.
Oh, yeah. They cut in the middle of shots. There's a shot
yes
where he has to, I think it's when he saves Irma and first meets her, when someone's trying to
Lola
shoot her.
Yeah.
Lola.
Sorry. When he first saves Lola, when someone's trying to shoot at her, and he has to jump and push her out of the way of a bullet, and like they couldn't apparently get one shot where it convincingly looked like he jumped and pushed her out of the way, because they just cut in the middle of the shot and he teleports to the other side as they're falling to the ground. But like, you could have cut to a different angle while you were doing this. Like, no, locked down the whole time. You just cut out like half a second of the shot.
You'll figure it out.
I will say, though, that there's, so of all of the fight scenes, the action scenes that are in this film, there's one that stands out for me over all of the rest, and that is the disco fight scene. He's with Anna. Anna's his Bond girl in that scene, and she's an informant talking to him, and some drunk guy comes over and tries to manhandle her. Wang Wang responds with some violence, and it breaks into the best fight scene, I think, in the film. In part because they actually have some wide shots and some like little action bits, and in part because it's just absolutely fun with Earth, Wind, and Fire in the background.
It is legally not Earth, Wind, and Fire because they never have their voices.
Yeah, I don't think anybody was paying for licenses in this movie.
No.
So how'd you guys feel about his odd job meets like Southern plantation owner hat?
Okay, please.
The odd job hat is arguably my favorite part of this film. So for those who are uninitiated, odd job is a Bond villain that had a bowler that he threw. Then the bowler at the edges was a knife, and it would cut people's heads off. So Wang Wang has a similar hat, but it's like a ticket ear hat.
Yeah, it's like he's on his way to the fucking Kentucky Derby. I don't
yeah,
understand.
Yeah, yeah.
He's going to put a feather in it and call it macaroni.
But he's really into it. Every time he passes a mirror while he's wearing the hat, he stops to check himself out in it. Like, you can tell he loves this hat.
Yes, but unlike Oddjob's hat, which he just throws, this one is remote controlled by his ring. And it's kind of fucking incredible to watch it float around like a UFO. And
like a ghost. It's a haunted hat. That's spooky. You don't want to mess with dark forces, guys. Get out of there.
Kind of appropriate that the quote-unquote twist of the movie turned out to be that Mr. Giant was also a little person.
Yeah,
because
yeah,
I was in my head thinking I really wanted the movie to end with yeah him getting to Mr. Giant's
you know, or with him getting to Mr. Giant, throwing his hat at him as the chair turns around and you just see a hand catch the hat and the camera pulls back and it's fucking Odd Job.
Oh, I was picturing like Andre the Giant. I'm like, I cannot wait for this fight scene. Like, how's he gonna do it? He's got to go through the eyeballs.
Oh, no, that's the twist. First, you see Andre the Giant, and you're like, oh, this is Mr. Giant. You get the fight scene, and then the slow clap starts from off screen.
Yes, yes.
And that's when Oddjob walks out.
Right, right. And
he's been Wizard of Ozing it the whole time.
Yeah.
Bamboozled.
I want that version now. Someone make that.
Yeah, I mean, if you're going to rip off Bond, rip it off. They ripped off the title for this one, which came out the same year. So I don't think they were like spoofing the film. I think they were just legitimately just like, ah, let's just spoof Bond stuff and do something height related with the title and get out of here.
All right. So this movie is not originally in English.
No.
But the dubbing is incredible. There seems to be maybe four people on the whole project, and they're giving it their fucking all. They're doing different accents. There's one guy that's like, hey, boss.
Four people,
this
one
guy
of whom
is not
way
good.
More enthusiastic than the others.
Yes.
Pedro. One of them is Pedro.
Yeah, that's that guy. Accent. Hey, boss. And then there's also a guy that sounded kind of like Charlie Kelly impersonating Randy Newman, and that goon was my favorite. That was the
hey boss, why don't we just kill him in a knife?
I don't know how he fucked our stuff up, boss. He's just the guy's so
no, not that
top.
Guy. This guy only showed up at the end. He was a real he was a real character.
Oh yeah, the 50s greaser guy. That was my favorite.
He was good too,
yeah.
Though.
Yeah.
Also, Wang Wang's voice was kind of weird. Whoever they had voicing him, it was almost like that 1940s gangster, but also like,
And a lot of the dialogue is height jokes, which is fine. You have a 2'9" lead guy, and the title is For Your Height Only. I get it. But whoever was doing the voice sounded like they were making fun of a little person when they were doing the voiceover.
Yeah, I could kind of see that.
Yeah, I guess the good news is that Wang Wang only has like not much more than a dozen lines.
Okay, where it's the most noticeable is the first time he goes to meet his Q and get all of his gadgets.
Yeah.
Even the dubbing mentions how he is not speaking in this conversation. Q,
you're a good
fake
listener.
Q, he's like, you don't talk much, do ya? And Wang Wang just like got this weird smile on his face, like, okay, I don't think he understands anything you're saying right now. But he's going through like 6 minutes worth of shit. It's not even him just showing him the weapons. He's talking about like financial problems at the firm or wherever the fuck they work. And then is like, anyway, I've got a bowler that'll cut someone's fucking head off for you. Here's a belt buckle with a sewing kit. And just is rambling on. And he does not speak in that scene. Were they in the same room?
It's like that theory that Michael Cera isn't an actor. He just accidentally stumbled onto a movie set one day and was too awkward to point out that he wasn't supposed to be there, and things just snowballed from there on him. I think that might be how Wang Wang ended up in Agent 00 in this universe.
Do you think that was like an improv moment that they recorded? And he just froze, and then like, you are perfect.
Yeah,
I think
they were definitely playing it pretty fast and loose with the dialogue and the translation and the dub on this. Yeah.
I love that for them.
I think this is pretty close to like Ghost Story levels. Like, you don't need to know what they were saying. You can figure it out.
Yes.
I need the two of you to open up your YouTubes, pull this film up, and go to like 6 minutes and 40 seconds or so. It's a room full of people smoking. I want you to focus kind of in the center and the background. There's going to be a man smoking. And when you see him, you'll know exactly who I'm talking about. All right?
That's a technique.
What did you just watch?
I watched a man hit a cigarette several times, which, okay, enthusiastic, but I get it. I've been there. I then watched him take that same cigarette up to each of his nostrils in turn and take another drag off of it.
Yeah. And then hit it again with his mouth.
Yeah, which is the most disturbing part of it for me. That he went straight, right nostril, left nostril, straight back to the mouth.
Yeah.
Why?
I don't
like if you need nicotine that, but and you know it doesn't have a filter, David. That's not a filtered cigarette.
I was gonna say like so maybe
real quick.
Are these some P-Funks? And he just got them in the wrong order, where he took a drag and went, oh shit, my bump. Come on, still be there. No, it's gone.
If you've ever smoked filterless cigarettes, especially on accident, wearing lip gloss, you don't want to put that in a wet environment. It is going to pull tobacco out. So you are going to have tobacco caught in your nose hairs, sir.
Yeah, his technique,
sir,
totally checks out for hitting a filterless cigarette in that you look like the druggiest druggie to ever wander the streets.
Yeah. It's not good, you guys.
Okay, I think maybe the hat was my favorite gadget, though. What about you guys? What was your favorite gadget?
Don't say the nudie glasses, Dave. I will cancel your ass so fast.
I honestly forgot about the nudie glasses and had to, when he used them, had to go back and remind myself where the fuck these came from that suddenly gave him the ability to see naked men behind a curtain.
Listen, I loved that they showed the women and the men. That's...
Oh, yeah. These work on everybody. And they're in a lot more men than women.
Yes. Twice as many, to be exact.
Yeah. There's a bunch of dudes lined up waiting to jump Wang Wang here. And I do not enjoy...
In his hotel room.
Yeah. And I do not enjoy the little smile he gives to camera after popping on his nudie vision glasses.
Okay, really quick, if we're talking about that scene, he's in his bedroom or hotel room. I don't know what it is.
Yeah.
There's a big red fucking curtain all around this room, and then they open it up for that scene. So like, okay, we can show that we're on a different set, I guess. It's fine. Anyway, with him in that red room, wearing that white suit, were you not getting Twin Peak vibes?
Oh, yeah.
Maybe David Lynch inspired by this film? Did he see this film and he's like visually like, yes, now we need like a checkerboard floor and some shit? Like,
I think they were both probably visited by the same machine elf at some point.
I just wonder if that's one of those coinky dings or just... Wang Wang did have... I'm sorry, 00. He's Wang Wang to me, okay? Say his name. He's fucking incredible. Wang Wang had a little invention thing that I think we should all have. The poison ring. The roofie ring.
The
Hello.
Roofie ring.
Roofie ring.
You heard it here first, folks. Casey thinks everybody should have a roofie ring.
One that detects, not dispenses. Important distinction.
Yeah, that was the one that was gold, not platinum, because, you know, the secret agency had budgeting problems.
We're having budgeting problems, okay? It turns out we made some bad investments and we can't afford platinum anymore.
Yeah, the ring that detects poisons was very cool. I think, honestly, my favorite gadget was just his gun, because he has this, like, tricked out handgun with a long barrel and a fucking side-mounted secondary handle for him to pick it up, because, you know, he's 2 foot fucking nine, and even a pistol's a long gun in his hands.
I loved that his like Kinex gun.
Yeah, it was great. They have him pick up an actual rifle later in the movie and get basically thrown backward like it's in fucking Looney Tunes.
He fires it and he rolls backwards like 5 times. It's great.
He was prepared for it.
That's true. He is a weapons expert. They tell us that.
Yeah, they tell us he's a weapons expert, which means he has done this many, many times before. He knows any gun he picks up precisely how far it's going to throw him back and how far off he needs to aim to counter. Yeah, because he made a shot.
Yeah.
That gun may have sent him ass over tea kettle, but he still killed a guy.
That's true. That's true.
He has a high ass body count and like probably like 60 some people.
Oh, yeah. Agent 00's got a pretty high body count in this movie. And
yes,
I think we can all agree he enjoys the violence. He's definitely
100%. He's looking for a reason.
He's exacerbating a lot of it.
Ladies love a dangerous man, though, because there is no shortage of poon in this movie.
Oh, my God.
There could have been, though.
You just unpacked your suitcase. You're on vacation with your fiance. And all of a sudden, your door gets kicked open. Wang Wang comes in, is running through, turns back, lays you down on your bed and just fucking plants one on you, Dave. And as he escapes through your window, you give a little tilly-lilly wave bye-bye.
As he escapes, okay, he escapes through the window by opening an umbrella and floating down, which is fucking gold,
the
by
best
the way.
Scene.
Yeah.
That's
it's fucking
the scene
gold.
That got us.
That was great.
Absolutely.
Loved that. That worked for me entirely.
That was a doll taped to an umbrella on a string, on a fishing wire.
Sure. But the kiss beforehand is so weird because he breaks into the room, runs to the balcony, sees that he's like 15 stories up. She's laying on the bed and is like, what the fuck? He runs out of the room, grabs the umbrella, runs back into the room, runs past her, then stops, sets it down, lays her down, and kisses her passionately. And then grabs the umbrella and jumps out the fucking window.
That's his Mentos moment.
Yeah, it was. That was the Mentos. 100%.
He was fresh and full of life. That doll swinging down violently. He lands perfectly on a Jeep. And then it drives off. Next scene, bitch. Next scene.
I was trying to find the next scene I wanted to talk about, which was the next sex scene he has. Unfortunately,
they don't show it.
When they do not show it, they cut to black before the sex scene. But they do show us him being seduced? Question mark? Question mark?
Is that
question
what it was?
Mark?
Seduced? Yeah. Seduced?
Because all of the dialogue leading up to this is two people reassuring each other that they want to have sex while really sounding like they really don't want to have sex.
Consent, man. Wang Wang gets consent.
This really was questionable consent.
Yeah, she asked him, are you a sexual creature? And he's like, yeah, I mean, I guess.
Yeah. I guess.
Oh, okay,
we just got shot at. Like,
right?
Hold on, give me a minute to fluff. My fear anti-boner hasn't gone away yet. Okay, but that's not the weirdest thing a woman said to him in this movie. And I quote, you're very petite, like a potato. Wait, I need to use the bathroom.
Yeah, what kind of potatoes do they have in the Philippines?
Little ones, I guess.
Not good soil for them.
Oh, I like the little ones, the little creamers. Love them.
The closing sex line to Wang Wang is, shall we get it on? But delivered like dead. Shall we get it on?
Yeah. Shall we get it on? The most deadpan delivery. Like that one you couldn't get some juice
on?
Hey,
she was British. Shall we get it on? Jay, your weird thing you noticed out of the corner of your eye with the guy smoking up his nose. Mine was as they were running through a pool area, Wang Wang's shooting a bunch of people across the pool and had shot as he was entering that area, and you slowly see a guy slide down the pool slide dead. But what henchman in a completely flat area would be like, I'm going to stand up here on the pool slide. It was very Tim Robinson. I'm like, I'm not just here for the ripcord. I'm not just here for the zip line. I'm not here just for the pool slide. No, I really want to be a goon. I want to be gangster.
All right, everyone. It's time to wrap this month up and get back to, you know, doing our job, which is setting themes and picking films that adhere to those themes. So in the spirit of the last time for this month, Casey, let's start with you. 1981's For Your Height Only. Would you watch it again?
Absolutely, yes. Yes. This is the second time I've watched it, and I would love to experience watching it with someone who hadn't watched it before. That maiden voyage is such a fantastic one. Because it does not shy away from fight scenes. All the women kick ass. They, you know, they're kicking. They're not damsels. They are until they aren't. They're like, ooh, I ran away. Like, okay, fuck you. Let's do this, Wang Wang. And like, you know, Tomahawk throws him at an enemy. yes, it's ridiculous, but sincere. It's funny. It's supposed to be a comedy. I'm sure there's... The jokes that are in it are not the ones that we got, a lot of them. But even if they are, it gets it. It's winking at itself, and I absolutely love it, and I think it's fucking perfect and endearing. But Dave, I doubt you're going to love it as much as I do. 1981's For Your Height Only, would you watch it again?
I still really want to know how I'm supposed to be pronouncing that "your" because there's an apostrophe in there, but I probably don't love this as much as you. Definitely not in the same ways as you, but I do love. I love a spy film, and I really, really love a spy parody film as well. I've watched the OSS 117 films like 3 fucking times each. They're fucking hilarious, and I love them. And I don't speak French, so there's no reason I wouldn't be into this. But a lot of the jokes, they are very, very heavy on the short jokes. All right. And it's, dear God, the budget is just so very low on this. Production was getting paused while they found another couch cushion to dig through to resume shooting. It's that tight. So it's not very well made, but won't be anytime soon. But I think I will definitely come back to For Your Height Only again.
Yes.
I just, when he slides across the floor and bonks his head and you hear that voiceover say, ow, my little head. It's just.
They use that trick. I wanted to talk about that. They shoot him across the floor on his back, shooting and shit. Like, they did that a lot.
Multiple times.
Yeah. Yeah.
So glad they reused that stunt.
This boy's been greased up real bad. So, yeah, not going to be anytime soon because there's a lot of other spy parodies I'll watch first, but I think I'll definitely come back to For Your Height Only again. Jay, what about you? From 1981, Your Height Only, would you watch it again?
This was an interesting watch because the first time I watched this is when after my basement had flooded and I had COVID and I was dipping in and out of fever and body aches. And so I would like catch portions of this. I remember the hat, for example, and the scene where he throws the hat and he flies it around the guys. That was one that stood out because, oh my God, that's incredible. And the umbrella jumping. But there were parts of the film that I didn't remember. So it was an interesting watch. I agree that it's cheap and it's not very well made. It is a lot of fun. The jokes are not great. I don't think the translation landed. Mm-hmm. It's really the poor delivery of the translation that is much more humorous for me. And it hits a lot of those B-movie, unintentionally bad hallmarks that really make it just a joy to watch. And I really loved the action. And I thought that the spy shooting and using Wang Wang's height, for the most part, was well done and fun in the action scenes, if not well put together and well shot. So, yeah, I'd watch it again, too. That means 3 out of 3 of us would watch For Your Height Only. But what about you guys? Have you seen this? Let us know on Facebook or Instagram. I'd love to hear your guys' opinions, especially
it's
free on
YouTube.
That is
the perfect description. It is joyful. This is a joyful film.
Yes.
We are so close to living in the timeline where this movie is exclusively a COVID fever dream of the two of yours. And I'm so upset that I don't get that timeline instead.
Next week is the final week of Dog Ate My Homework Month. And we're going to close it out with something kind of interesting. 1991's Showdown in Little Tokyo, starring Dolph Lundgren and Brandon Lee.
Fuck yeah, I'm in. It's all I needed to hear.
Yeah, I've never watched it, but I already want to. Well, we'll just have to wait till next week to see if this fits the true theme of the month. Follow us on Instagram at casey.cinema. Like us on Facebook, sh.ttycinema. Donate to our gadget fund because our firm is very not good in the finance department at patreon.com/shittycinema or peepshittycinema.com. Check the show notes for those links. And in the meantime, let's turn out the lights. Wow, wow. Put on our nudie glasses. Boom, 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 boom. And just go ahead and wait in that locker room.